Hey y'all, we are back for part two of 1973, where we're going through the albums that are our favorites. So hang around and check it out.
All right, Rich, back to you. Number three.
So number three on my list is Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin. And since it's all three of us, it's we've all picked this one, I expect some pretty good discussion here. For a long time, this was my favorite Led Zeppelin record. It may still be, but I think right now it's Physical Graffiti for me. But I think I fell in love with this record because, and let me say this first. So when I was growing up, my dad was in bands. I've been in bands with my dad. He's a guitar player. He loves music. So a lot of music growing up. And Led Zeppelin was one of his favorites. Now, he was more of Led Zeppelin, Beatles, rock and roll stuff. Mom was, it was like your parents, but flipped. And then mom was more of folkier things or like softer rock, like Fleetwood Mac and things like that. But so dad was, you know, always, we always had records and it was always things like Led Zeppelin. And this one comes in, this is their fifth record. Yeah, this is right after four. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different sort of amalgamation. They're a weird band. They're always heavy. They're always bluesy, but sometimes they can take those things and turn them into like the Crunch or the Rain Song, or, I mean, No Quarter is pretty standard, but you know what I'm saying? Or Jermaker. They take what they are and come up with these wild, I don't really know the word I'm looking for. They come up with these songs that should not work for them, and they do. But anyway, just back to it. When I was at UT, and I took music appreciation because everybody does, and that was, you know, music 101. Well, we had 102, which was history of rock and roll. My favorite class ever in college. I should have gone into music after that. I should have changed my. I just should have. I shouldn't have listened to everybody to say, no, you got to do something that makes money. You know, you're not going to do anything with music. I could have done a lot with music, but I listened to people. Anyway, the guy that was he was an actual professor. He played records in class. That was basically what it was. He would do a 10 to 15 minute lecture at the beginning. And this was like an hour and a half class, kind of talking about what we're going to listen to that day. And he spent, he started way back, you know, in the old rhythm and blues days and moves forward. He loved Led Zeppelin. So I'm 20 years old. This is like 91, 92. He plays every Led Zeppelin record. We spend an entire like section on just Led Zeppelin, and he played Houses of the Holy. And I'm like, I don't think I know these songs. You know, I knew everything on four because it was always playing in my house. Yeah. You know, I knew a whole lot of love. It was always on the radio. I'm going, I don't feel like I know these songs. And then Over the Hills and Far Away comes on and I'm blown away. Like, this is the greatest song I've ever heard to this point in my life. That's how I felt about that song. And then the Crunch plays and I'm like, what the is this? What is this? This is craziness. Now, anyway, it was college where I really fell in love with this record. And actually, that was when I became a huge Led Zeppelin fan. They were probably my favorite or second favorite band for a long time after this. Anyway, this is going to end up a free for all, I'm sure. But I just wanted to get that story in there about learning about this in college and in the classroom. So that's just pretty cool that something that ends up sticking with you for the rest of your life that's fun was also something that you had in class.
That is cool, man. So it's number one for me. You know, I talked last episode about, well, previously, it was maybe a couple episodes ago where you asked me the 10 questions and you put me in the bad position of picking between Led Zeppelin and Genesis. And at the time, I chose Genesis. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to rehash that. That's stressful. Okay. I don't want to have to do that again. This is a top three album. Yeah, it goes back and forth. Sometimes this is my favorite Led Zeppelin album. I agree with Physical Graffiti. And sometimes Led Zeppelin 4 is that for me. And sometimes Led Zeppelin 1 may sneak in there. I have listened and listened and listened to this album, I don't know how many times. And I always, I just something, I get a certain feeling and a very positive feeling when I hear the opening seconds of Song Remains the Same. It just sounds like they're rushing to, they've got this incredible musical idea and they're rushing as quickly as possible to record it. And if they don't record it in this short amount of time, it's never, it's going to be lost forever. It just seems like there was such urgency. And I know there were other times in the band where you can feel that urgency. Presence comes to mind because Robert Plant, they recorded it after Robert Plant had been in a terrible car accident. That's a different sort of urgency. Here, it's like a creative urgency.
Yeah.
I like because, that. This entire record is urgent. You're right.
Yeah, the Song Remains the Same was, that's actually about them being out on the road. And it was originally, the working title of it was called The Campaign. Yeah, they sped up Plant's lyrics a little bit. But yeah, urgent is a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, so it's number one for you too, Josh, right?
Yeah, I have it listed as number one. I mean, for me, Zeppelin's a top five band in my life. I'm probably a top three. I think for me, I put four as my favorite album just for sentimental reasons. Going to California was the song that I would put on the record player to put my oldest to bed, you know, firstborn child, putting him to bed. So like I'm connected to that album in a different way. And that will probably always be my number one. But I would say House of the Holy is my number two. No Quarter is my favorite Zeppelin song. I started liking Zeppelin because of Stairway. The first time I ever danced with a girl at a seventh grade dance was to Stairway to Heaven. I couldn't even tell you who the girl was, but I remember that song and I remember like cool experience, you know, but I wanted to find out more about the music and that song. Yeah, I think for me, having this as my number one out of 1973. You know, I mentioned that Harrison was my favorite Beatle, and Rain Song was actually, Paige said, George Harrison complained about Led Zeppelin never doing ballads, and the Rain Song was their response to that. So it's just, it's amazing start to finish. You know, one of those that you can say it's a perfect album that you put on and can play time and time and time again. And for me, there's not a lot of albums that are perfect albums where I don't want to skip a song. And this is one of them for sure. So while it's my number one for the year, I would say it's probably a top 10 album for me in my life.
Me too. Awesome. Probably. Yeah, I think me too. And definitely Clint, he's already told us that too. So yeah, so this is a good one. And I'm with you. I think No Quarter may be my favorite Led Zeppelin song now, right now. That always changes.
Yeah. Right.
Very cool. I didn't know that about George Harrison making that critical comment. So that's pretty funny. And what a hell of a ballad they wrote in response right? to that. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Number three for me. And none of yous have this in your top five. I know, but Richie, you texted me about this album today. And maybe there was a little bit of regret. Maybe. But I don't know. Your top five is pretty awesome. Selling England by the Pound by Genesis. Pretty predictable choice by me. I will say that because I love Genesis. This album has a lot of great songs on it that probably not many people had. It actually had their first hit, which is I Know What I Like in Your Wardrobe. That was really their first commercial hit that actually got play on the radio. Not a lot of play, but enough play to kind of, you know, get them some commercial success, because it's of people who were fans of the band love them, but I don't know if they were getting, you know, not everybody is becoming Genesis fans, but they're slowly building their fan base and slowly stretching out into just what they would continue to evolve into. So there's like three songs on here. They're over 9 minutes long. Yeah, Dancing with the Moonlit Night is 8 minutes long, and First to Fifth is 9.5 minutes long. The Battle of Epping Forest is 11 minutes and 43 seconds. The Cinema Show is 10 minutes and 48 seconds. So it's very prog, right? Prog rock, long songs, who cares? I mean, it's not like Yes, where it's like one song for the entire album or something, or two songs or something, but it's close.
I like how they break apart every single one of those with a shorter, smaller bite than the one that comes before or after. If you look at the order, that's good because I get pretty exhausted after about 6 to 7 minutes of a song. And
yeah,
it can be a little hard to keep with it.
I think that's why so many people probably will not give it a chance, because, you know, they see an 8 minute long song and they're out. They don't want to, if it's 5 minutes, okay, yeah, well, I can listen to that. But most people in the world are used to radio hits and things that are less than 5 minutes. So I admit Genesis is not the most palatable, just from, you got to make a commitment to listen to it. But it's got one of the best songs. One of my favorite songs in here is, I'm going to talk about the Cinema Show, and I want to talk about the concert we saw. Was it 2021, Rich? When we saw Genesis at Nationwide Arena here in Columbus. And you asked me before the show, what song do you want to hear? Are you hoping that you hear? And I said, I hope I hear the Cinema Show. And it's a strange pick because a lot of people don't know the song. Because, like I said, it's an 11-minute song. But it's got some of the most awesome, and it's so prog. It is so prog. But I don't care. It has just a beautiful arrangement of guitars and keyboards. I mean, Tony and our the great Steve Hackett, sorry, inside joke, are just doing some incredible work on that album or on that song. And it's just, I love to hear it. It's like a song I put on my playlist to go run to. I don't know. I'm weird. But I just love it that much. I just love, and Phil is playing. He's doing some amazing drum work. Everybody is really just hitting their stride on this album.
And we get Phil singing lead on More Fool Me.
Yes, that is. I think that is.
Second time, I think.
Second time he sings lead on a song. That is right. And what's crazy, in 3 years, he's the lead singer for the band. Just to put it in perspective.
Him and, I mean, it's only one song, but Peter Gabriel, his vocals on this record are so good. Let's talk about a little the production of this record. And it sounds so good. Even the pre-remastered, like the original version, they were tight with production, which you kind of have to be with this sort of music or it's not going to work. No, I listened again today and, yeah, I was like, Peter's voice sounds so good. I love his voice, and he's not got major range, or he may not be the smoothest guy, but man, he's got a great voice for this.
Yeah, and it's my favorite era of Genesis. As much as I love Phil Collins, and I've gushed about him on this podcast many a time, this is my favorite era of Genesis. This album, I mean, I mentioned Foxtrot on the previous episode, but starting with this album and the next two albums after this, that's prime Genesis. That's the best work they put together as a band. And Trick of the Tail was without Peter Gabriel, but they are still riding on the momentum that started with this album, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Hackett's still around right now, so it's still the good Genesis.
Yes. Shit. You got me again. But I got you. Well, Josh got me with the video, then I got you with it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a sidebar.
Okay, real fast, I'll bring it back. Speaking of Steve Hackett, the guitar solo he plays on After the Ordeal, the instrumental song on here, go back and listen to that. He was great. He really was. We make a lot of fun of that because of our story with the guy that said Genesis wasn't Genesis without Steve Hackett, which is just the craziest thing we'd ever heard. But this shows how great he is. That just go listen to that. If you haven't listened to it lately, you probably have, Clint.
Yeah. I'm like listening to it now.
Inside your head.
No, I've got Spotify up. I'm playing some of these songs while we're talking just to refresh my memory. So like I said, it's I love it. It's my number three. Josh, it's not in your list. I don't know if you listen to much Genesis.
Yeah, I like Genesis. I would say that I'm more, when I got turned on to Genesis, I look at Phil Collins, Genesis, and then Peter Gabriel is kind of, I know they were together for a while, but I look at it more separate entities. And I think of Peter Gabriel more as a solo artist. Obviously, there's Peter Gabriel, the solo artist, and Peter Gabriel with Genesis. For me, most of the songs that I like from Genesis are Phil Collins on vocals.
And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, Fran.
That being said, I love Peter Gabriel. And actually, going back to me sharing that story about Harry Styles, Harry Styles recorded his second album at Peter Gabriel's studio, and he does a really cool cover of Sledgehammer. He actually did that on Howard Stern's show. It's pretty cool.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Very cool. All right, Josh, what's your number three?
Well, I have Dark Side of the Moon as my number three. I think for me, it's like cue the third roar of the MGM Lion and cue up the album, right? It's like as a teenager, just having fun and the music from Pink Floyd for me. I'm a big Pink Floyd fan. I Wish You Were Here is my favorite Floyd album, but Dark Side's just amazing, right? It's so much good music on here. Did anybody else have Dark Side on their list?
It's number two for me.
And number two, yeah, for me as well.
I think it is definitely one of those turn it on and start to finish, just amazing. For me, I think probably my favorite track is either Money or Time. I don't know. I there's so many great songs on here.
It's Time for me. I think I struggled, and I guess many people that grew up without vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow up with your primary thing being CDs, and the first music I bought was on, I had a few tapes, but I bought a CD when I was like 9 years old. And so CDs have been the medium for most of my life and now I collect vinyl. Yeah. And I would prefer, if it's recorded correctly, to for it to sound good on vinyl, I prefer vinyl. And I think you feel that way, Josh, and I definitely know Rich does.
Absolutely.
But growing up that way, it's hard to get used to listening to an album all the way through. You are tempted to just hit that skip button when you hear something you may or may not really like, and you want to explore what else is on this CD, what else is on this album.
Right.
But I remember my dad having Pink Floyd Pulse, and it's the live album, and they played this album in its entirety. And this is long after Roger Waters left the band. So it's not quite Pink Floyd, but it has everyone else, David Gilmour, Nick Mason, and Richard Wright. It just doesn't have Roger Waters. But listening to that really convinced me, and my love of Led Zeppelin kind of convinced me, you got to spend time and listen to all these albums all the way through, because the artist is trying to say something. They're trying to tell you a story. They're trying to paint a picture, and you can't do it if you just skip around the tracks. So to me, this is one of those albums that convinced it changed the way I listen to music. It convinced me, put in the time, put in the effort, it's well worth it. This one, I don't think, it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right if you skip around on it. I mean, you can hear one-offs on the album. You can listen to Time. You can listen to Money. Those are the two hits off the album. And Eclipse, or not Eclipse, but Brain Damage going into Eclipse. But see, you can't just play Brain Damage. You can't just play Eclipse. You have to play those two back to back. And the same thing can be said for Speak to Me and Breathe. And I've even heard it on satellite radio where they put all three, Speak to Me, Breathe, and On the Run at the same time. So that tells you that this album is meant to be consumed from start to finish. And it's another perfect album. I mean, that's two or three in this year alone. That's what makes this year so challenging. And there's some other years that are just also nearly impossible to make solid or make like convincing picks, because you go back and forth. Some days I could say, well, Dark Side of the Moon is my favorite all time, other than Houses of the Holy. Or I could have weeks where I think Band on the Run takes that top spot. It's so difficult. There was just so much great music being made during this time.
Growing up in the 70s as a kid, money was ever present. It was always on the radio. I remember hearing that song all the time when I was a kid. My dad had the record. Everybody that liked rock and roll or popular music in the 70s had this record. That's why it was on the charts for like years, decades, I think.
So when I talk about the Roar, the third Roar of the Lion, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
For any listeners, if you don't know, I'm referring to turning down the volume on The Wizard of Oz when the lion roars. You start this album and it's supposed to sync up, and it does a pretty good job of that, actually. So,
yeah, I've done it a couple of times, once with some friends many years ago, and I think I did it, I don't know, it might have been lockdown year, it might have been 2020. My daughter, we did it because she wanted to see.
You didn't do it this week when you saw the list, just to see if it was still true.
I should have.
I wonder if it was intentional.
I don't think so, but I just think it just somehow worked out.
They definitely trolled us, though.
It just doesn't seem like something Roger Waters would be into doing.
Well, on the Pulse album, on the back cover, if you look at it closely, you see nods to The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but go back and look at the album cover on the back of it. They're trolling us for sure.
If you guys have that as number two, should I lead into my number two?
Absolutely, because that's the only one we've got to talk about now.
The only one left. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for me, I have as my number two Jackson Browne for Everyman. So my uncle really, 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 really into Jackson Browne. In fact, he named his son Jackson Browne Lee is his middle name. Browne Lee is a family name, my grandmother's maiden name. So my cousin is Jackson Browne Lee, spelled B-R-O-N-E-L-E-E, which doesn't make sense, but it's the ode to Jackson Browne. For me, this is just a cool album, right? Like, there's so many influential people doing harmony vocals, Elton John playing piano, Joni Mitchell is on there, Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Bonnie Raitt, David Crosby. This is the first album that David Lindley worked with Jackson Browne. Let's talk about the tracks that are on there. Take It Easy, which Jackson Browne and Glenn Frey wrote together. Obviously, the Eagles put it out first, but Brown's version is a little bit different. Our Lady at the Well, Redneck Friend, that's, you know, you've got, oh, I'm trying to think. Elton John is playing piano on this, but he goes in the liner notes, he goes by like
Rockaday Johnny.
Rockaday Johnny, yeah. Yeah. So it's just one of those kind of albums where you can, a sunny Sunday afternoon, you can kind of see the sun coming through the window and the dust in the air a little bit, and put on the album and everything feels good, right? Like life is okay. And for me, just having listened to Jackson Browne a lot growing up, this is one of my favorites by him. So yeah, that's where I have it.
So Josh, I'm being entertained. I'm wowed and entertained. I'm reading the artists that were on this album that contributed amazing to this album. It's an amazing list. And Rich, I'm going to mispronounce his name, but David, is it Posh from Toto?
Page. Yeah.
I didn't know he was on this album. He's playing acoustic piano on track five.
I didn't either, but it makes sense. Yeah, all the people that were on this album, he must have been staying with somebody or living with somebody in Laurel Canyon, because this is like the Laurel Canyon All-Stars. I don't know if you know about Laurel Canyon.
But like, I do, yeah.
Yeah, late 60s.
Actually, I talked to Quinn about that. Yeah.
Late 60s, early 70s, like just this crazy amount of talent and personality all in the same spot. And yeah, you can see some of that. And I'm just looking at this list. You can see some of that. Like Joni Mitchell and David Crosby, they were definitely there. Bonnie Raitt was there some. All the Eagles guys were there. And, you know, Don and Glenn are on this. Yeah, wow. It's pretty wild. I like this album a lot. I like Jackson Browne a lot. I have pretty much everything. The Pretender is my favorite song by Jackson Browne. I think that's actually one of the better written songs of my lifetime. But this record has some of that same songwriting as well. And I think that's one of the reasons so many of us love Jackson Browne, the songwriting. But then there's also, you were talking about, you put it on, you feel good, the sunshine. And a lot of that has to do with his voice. His voice, like, again, not like a top-tier, unbelievable singer, but it's calming and it's familiar. And it, you know, I guess all these years later, it reminds me of my childhood, because he was in the 70s, he was, and up into the early 80s, fairly ubiquitous guy. He was on the radio constantly with many different hits, even if they weren't top tens. I just remember hearing Jackson Browne all the time. And that also could be a product of my dad loved him and played that music all the time. But I'm so glad that you picked this record so that we could talk a little bit, if nothing else, just talk a little bit about Jackson Browne. I'm pretty sure when we get further along, The Pretender is probably in my top five for that episode. Take It Easy. It's fine. It's funny. My band, we did Take It Easy. Of course, we did it more like the Eagles, with a little bit of laying on the country a little bit more, just because of where we are and what people like. I could never hear that song again and be just fine, simply because I played it about 500 times. But
it's up there with Moni, right, Richie?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, man, there's so many of those. There's so many.
You play a lot of Moni?
We played, one of the songs we covered was Billy Idol's version of Moni.
Okay.
It's like a good dance song that really gets a crowd pumped.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And really gets Richie mad.
I just remember never putting it on. Same thing with Take It Easy. I would leave it off the set list, and then somewhere in the middle of the show, I'm going, man, we've got to grab these people. What are we going to do? Shit. We're going to have to play Take It Easy. Dang it. We're going to have to play Moni. Back to this album. Good. Great pick. I love it. I'm so glad.
I love Jackson Browne. I loved it that you put it on our list. And we'll be talking about Jackson Browne in future episodes, I think. But one thing I always remember about Jackson Browne, somebody I used to work with, who was also in the band, but he just talked about the sound that, just a unique sound that Jackson Browne seemed to create, both vocally and musically. And he said, I've been chasing that sound ever since I started playing. And to me, that is powerful and influential. And I can't, it's like, you really can't put your finger on it, what it is, but you know, it's something. It's that feeling Josh is talking about, putting the album on a lazy Sunday afternoon, and it instantly puts you in a good mood. And Jackson Browne definitely has that impact on me when I listen to his music. So great choice.
Yeah, it's kind of in the title. Jackson Browne kind of is an everyman. It's familiar, and human beings love familiar. Like, if you've never heard a Jackson Browne song in your life and you hear one for the first time, I feel like you're like, yeah, I feel that. Seems like I know that, you know.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. I love those people too. You don't have to think too hard. You just listen. Okay, before we go into some honorable mention stuff, let's each one just run down our top five, since we're kind of all over the place, and our rankings were different, and we'll just do this for the 8 to 12 people out there listening. So mine was starting at number 5, Red Rose Speedway by Wings, into Countdown to Ecstasy by Steely Dan. My number 3 was Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin. Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, comes in at number 2, and my number 1 was Band on the Run by Wings.
And my number 5 was Tres Hombres by ZZ Top, Band on the Run by Wings. Number 3 is Selling England by the Pound by Genesis. Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd comes in at number 2, and my number 1 is Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin.
My number 5 was The Stooges' Raw Power. Number 4, Aerosmith, Aerosmith. Number 3, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. 4 was Jackson Brown, 2 was Jackson Brown for Everyman. And at 1, I had Zeppelin with Houses of the Holy.
Good lists. We got to talk about 10 fun albums. I enjoyed that, but we did have to leave some stuff out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We can just open the floor there.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road by Elton John.
That's going to start.
I feel like we should have said something about that album.
Yeah, it's there. I love Elton John, and that's a strong album. I just personally, for me, it doesn't resonate like the other ones do, right? I think I had, for my honorable mention, I had Mind Games by Lennon. I love that album. That song is amazing to me. But we can talk about Elton John if you want to, Clint.
To me, it's my favorite Elton John album. And I saw him live before maybe in 2019 or 2018, before I moved to Columbus. I saw him in Johnson City. And whoever was organizing the concert did not do a very good job about letting enough gates open, because people were still coming into the arena when Funeral for a Friend was starting. So I came in and get to my seat. He's halfway through it. But even then, and it was kind of, it wasn't Elton John at his best. He did a great job. And some of it was a bit cheesy, if I'm being honest with you, the whole concert, some of the visual things I saw. But that is one of the strongest starts to an album, with Funeral for a Friend and Love Lies Bleeding. That is just incredible rock and roll by somebody you don't normally associate with rock and roll. And actually, there's lots of rock and roll on this album, with Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Yeah.
Just tremendous song. But then you've got Benny and the Jets. And then maybe my favorite Elton John song is Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
So I wasn't on 1972. If I was, I would have put Honky Chateau. So I don't know if that made anyone's list or not. I haven't listened to that one. I don't know if it's up yet or not. But my favorite Elton John song is Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's. And that's my favorite Elton John album. I think it's just, you know, Honky Cat, Rocket Man. And Rocket Man, for me, that goes back to my punk rock days. And some punk rock versions of that song are really fast and fun. Yeah, with Elton John, Honky Chateau is my favorite.
Nice. It did not make our list, but we may have mentioned it. I don't even remember now, but it's worth mentioning because it's an excellent album. Rich, Quadrophenia came out in 1973.
Yeah, I know. It's not one of my favorites by them, but still it's worth noting. It's got some good stuff on it. I just got like a new version of it on vinyl recently.
So did I.
Yeah. And there's a half speed master that's about to come out of it, like all the others that they're doing with their back catalog. So yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. If Andrew was here, he would have fussed at us for not having an album in our top 5. Pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd.
If we didn't put them or whatever Stones record for that year in the top 5, he would be upset with us.
I don't know. Did they even have an album out that year?
This year, 73, no.
Nope. Actually, Pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd is pretty good. Free Bird, Simple Man, Tuesday's Gone.
I want to say their original drummer is from Cleveland. Sorry, I'm an Ohio guy. I love to talk about Ohio when I have opportunities too. So,
no, I love it. I'm just learning all kinds of stuff about Ohio through you, Josh. I appreciate that. Any other honorable mentions, Rich?
Piano Man was this year.
Oh my gosh.
Good year for music.
It hurt me to leave Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder off because I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's the record that has Living for the City and Higher Ground on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the ones on there that most people would not know are it's an all timer too. I mean, there are so many of those. Desperado by the Eagles was this year. That's another. Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. It's pretty wild.
Didn't Al Green have an album?
He did. This year it was Call Me. Last year, 72 was the big year. And yeah. I covered both of those were on my list for 72. That was Let's Stay Together and it's the other record. It was two records. Ooh La La by the Faces. You know, that song has showed up now in so many movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
Just in the last 10 years, it's crazy.
It's a great song.
It is. I agree. I totally agree. David Bowie had Aladdin Sane in 73.
Another Roxy Music album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, For Your Pleasure. It could have been higher up in my list. It's not. We're going to get to a couple of their records that are some of my favorites. So I had their debut album in my top five last week. And they're going to show back up on the podcast. But I didn't have them. This year was just too hard to put them up there. It's what a year. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. There's your one. Black Sabbath. Yeah. Brain Salad Surgery. I remember my dad having that record, and you know it's got the fold out and all that. My dad was a big Emerson, Lake and Palmer fan.
Yeah, so was my dad.
Queen self-titled was this year. Is that right? Yeah, it's just a wild how many, and there are some other years like this that you know there are a dozen or more worthy list makers. Well, guys, this was fun. I knew that we were going to have a good time with this one, and it paid off. Josh, thank you so much for joining us, and you know,
yeah, thanks for having me.
You are absolutely welcome anytime. We'll be doing this series for the rest of our life, I think. So,
approximately. Yeah.
But we'll put some other things in between here and there because I'm sure at some point we'll get a little burnout on just the format. But yeah. In the meantime, yeah, anytime if you think of a year that you really love something, just let us know. You're more than welcome.
For sure. I appreciate you having me.
Clint, thank you as always.
Yeah. Well, this is a fun way to spend Sunday afternoon. So really now is. I have to figure out what chaos has happened while I've been on this podcast with my kids.
Yeah,
I'll be fine.
I've just got to go let dogs out. Okay, everybody, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week, another year, 1974. And again, if you're here listening to us, you know how to find us already. But if you want alternate ways, there is Spotify, there's Apple Music. We should be getting onto Amazon Prime / Audible. I've submitted for that. Hopefully with a few episodes in a row, they'll pick it up. So there's going to be more and different ways to get to us. You can always use the feed, our website, audiobyopc.com. Put it in your favorite podcast. If you're here from Spotify and you'd rather listen in your podcast app, that's where you can go find that. So again, thanks for joining us. We'll be back.